God. Well, the last three Sundays, ever since the first Sunday of this year, we've been talking about a new beginning. And many times we wait for a new beginning at the beginning of a new year. God can do something new any day he wants to, you know, in the middle of the year, the end of the year. But all because we look at New Year's resolutions as a time to start something new in our life, I want to encourage you from the Word of God that now is a good time not to just make good year's resolutions, but to receive God's revelations in our life, to where we apply things to our life that we want to see on the outside, but going to the root of it. How many know the root of what we see on the outside is on the inside? And so if we make changes, if we adapt changes, and I believe that God's Word is the most efficient way to do that, applying God's principles to our inner man will cause the outside to fall into place, and we'll see fruit on the outside that we haven't seen because we have focused on changing the inside. Amen? So we've talked the last three Sundays about things like addiction. We found out that we were all addicts. We're all addicts of something. It could be banana pudding, but we're all addicts of something. We talked about the purpose, or not the purpose. We talked about the root cause of addiction, but we also gave the answer of fasting and prayer to addiction. We talked about in part two, second Sunday, about depression. We talked about the root cause of depression, and we found out that reading God's Word is the healing process for depression. And last week we talked about anger, and I made some confessions about anger, and so you just have to go back and listen to that. I'm not going to repeat it, but talked about anger, talked about the root cause of anger, and gave the answer. And Jesus said, in his words, he said, define your life, you must lose it for his sake. And then we adapt that to anger and go to the root of that. Then this week, we're going to talk about another hot topic that we can all relate to. This week, we'll wrap up the New Beginning series. And then next Sunday will be the first Sunday of February. Say amen. I can't believe it, but it's here. We look at the first Sunday of February, and we're going to start a new series next week that I think you'll really love. And it'll be a good series that we'll kick off next Sunday. But this week, we're going to talk about another topic. Before I do, let's look at our key scripture found in Isaiah 43:19, and then we'll pray. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your desire is to bring something brand new in our lives today. God, something new that only you can bring about. Father, it's fruit that we want to see, but Father, may we look to you, Lord, for the root source of everything that we need today, Father. May you apply it to our lives and encourage us today, and as may we receive your word. May we hear it, may we see it, may we apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Talking about new beginnings, today I want to touch on a topic that we think maybe from the surface it sounds a little shallow. We think maybe from the surface and from the single word that I'll use here, it may seem a little unspiritual. But I'm going to show you in the Word of God how important this is. And the word I'm going to talk about today is insecurity. Insecurity. We also know it as our self-image. We also know it as our self-identity. And it's more than how we see ourselves. How we see ourselves is how we receive from God. We limit how we receive from God. We limit what we can receive from God because of our self-identity, who we think we are, more than who we know we are in Christ. So I want to talk about that today. Talk about who we are in Christ. But a low self-esteem can impact your life. A low self-esteem, and I remember growing up as a child, especially when going through a devastating time, my mother passing away, low self-esteem, sometimes we feel like we're less than. Well, why does he have his mom and I can't have my mom? Why does he get that and I don't get that? And sometimes we'll talk about that shortly too, about how we compare ourselves, our situations to others, and we feel less fortunate than, we feel less than, we feel like we have a low self-esteem. We feel like many times we have a bad deal on life because that's what we deserve. I deserve a bad deal. So it's a low self-esteem. It's an insecurity. It's the way we see ourselves, but it is not the way God sees us. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all diligence. There again, it's looking on the inside. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. I don't always go to the good news, but the good news version of Proverbs 4:23 says this, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That's as plain as you can get. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Proverbs 23, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That gives us the idea that what goes on in here is actually is what comes out here. It's our thoughts turn into action. So it's important how positive our thoughts are over how negative. It really does affect you by having negative thoughts, because that's where the issues of life come from. You don't have it there, but you can make note of Proverbs 23:7. It also says, paraphrased, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So as we think in our heart, as we think about who we are, we actually exude that same thought process. So it's important what we think. It's important how we think. It's important that we think the way God thinks about us, because we're actually shaping our life. We're shaping our life for the ability to receive. We're shaping our life for the ability to give. We're shaping our life to interact or not interact or be withdrawn. All those things come as we define ourselves. So let's look at that. We really come up with two ways that we define ourselves, two basic ways. And the first one is our culture, our world. We look at the world to define us. And they say, well, it's based on your performance. So then our performance is based on what he does or she does. So we're performing, trying to define who we are based on what we can do. That's not God's standard. Culture always also looks at us by our looks. You know, that's why plastic surgery is so important. It's because our looks, it's got to be this, it's got to be that, and it's got to be the other. And so doctors are real busy making those tweaks and those adjustments and those tucks and those all those things that they do, because looks are important. Why? Because he's comparing himself to him, or she's comparing herself to her. I've got to look like that in order to be who I'm supposed to be. And then we look at our possessions. Well, he has that, so I've got to have that. As we've heard the old saying, keeping up with the Joneses. We've got to do this in order to, if I don't have that, then I'm not accepted, I'm not received, I don't have my identity because of what I do or don't have. Then the second way that we find our identity is by our past. Our past. And we know that our past can hinder our future because we're limited to the mistakes we've made. That's what I've done, so that's what identifies me. Did you know that your past does not define who you are? Successes or failures does not define who you are. We need to look and see what defines us. And so that's a huge one. It's a big one. Your past is not limited. I'm sorry, your future is not limited by your past. We limit our future by our past. Well, I've never been able to get past that, so I'm not going to be able to. We limit what we can do by what we have done. And God is not limited by your past. God's blessing, God's favor, and God's view of you is not limited by your past. Aren't you glad? And so God brings forgiveness. He brings hope, even though we've had failures. Has anybody ever made a mistake before? Praise God. Man, I've got some high arms. I'll do two arms. And so God takes those things, and he uses them to bring us closer to him. He forgives us and purifies us of those things and still causes us to go further than what we ever thought we could go. And so we need to look at culture as ways that we can be a light in culture in the world. And we need to look at our past as a way that we can grow beyond that, that we can continue forward and do what God's called us to do. So our self-image is what I want to talk about today. This is so important. Romans 12:3 says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Now, at first glance, this verse means, okay, you're thinking a little too highly of yourself. Well, the word "highly" here in the English translation of that, that's, I suppose, the best word they can come up with. But if you look at that word in the Greek, the meaning of the word "highly" here is actually meaning an improper view of yourself. Whether it means low self-esteem or arrogant. It's not necessarily specifically talking about an arrogant attitude. It's talking about an improper view of yourself. Improper based on who? Based on God. If we have a different view of ourselves than what God has of us, it's improper. Our view of ourselves should be the same view God has on us. And so if we have an improper view of ourselves, we're not seeing ourselves the way God sees us, then we can't consistently be able to receive all that we can receive. We can't experience all that God has for us to experience if we look at ourselves differently than the way God looks at us. So he says not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He goes on to say, but think soberly. Well, we think that, okay, you can't be drunk when you think about yourself. No, that's that there again, that's a word that we use in the American language, but the Greek meaning of that is to be in your right mind. To be in your right mind and to have the right mindset when viewing yourself. So think of yourself not with more highly an improper view of yourself, and to think of yourself in your right mind. How can we have the right mind? Well, Paul talks a lot about our mind, doesn't he? He talks about our mind, and we could go there and spend weeks on that part of the scripture. But our mind, there again, is having the right mind is to have the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ, even in the way we view ourselves. That's important. It's not a shallow topic. Did you know that I can't really relate to you, I can't really be a true friend to you until I see myself through God's eyes, seeing who I am to you, and seeing God's view of who you are to me. As we see each other for who we are, brothers and sisters working with each other, you being a help to me and me being a help to you, then we can experience all that God has for us to experience, even on earth. It's the view of ourselves. This is very, very important. And so our opinion of God gets better as we apply God's opinion of ourselves. We can't see God any greater than what we can see ourselves as God's creation. Let us come together and make you after our own image. God will say, and even in Genesis, that he was creating you after his image. So if you're created after God's image, then he views you in a very special way. You're made after his image. You're created after his image. So our view of God can be limited by the view of ourselves. That's strong, isn't it? That's how important it is. If we view ourselves in a tainted way, then our view of God is also going to be tainted. I would go as far as to say this. The doubt that we apply in our life is the doubt that we apply toward God's blessing to us. So the root cause of insecurity is really our view of Jesus. The root cause of our insecurities is caused by the view of our view to Jesus. See, we must first see God right before we can see us right. When we see him right, then our whole mind opens up to the way we see God in ourselves, around us, even in situations. It grows and goes beyond a lot beyond that. But it's our view in Jesus Christ that creates, and I believe is the foundation of insecurity in our life. Have you ever seen anybody that's colorblind? Crystal and I have, and matter of fact, a family member, a little bit colorblind, So he has Crystal's assistance in putting color codes or number codes on this jacket with this shirt and this pair of pants. Because, I mean, you might be wearing orange and red, which today is popular. Orange and red is popular now, so I can't really use that. But two colors that really don't match, whatever those two colors are, you know, somebody that's colorblind, they can't tell if it's blue or red or pink or green, you know. And so really that's, that we limit our vision because we need to be able to see properly. We need to be able to see God clearly. We need a correction of our vision. We need a correction of our seeing, if you will. We're looking today at a guy named Gideon. Everybody knows Gideon in the Word of God, and we know that God used him greatly, but God used Gideon in Israel to lead them to a victorious place. And a celebration, and God used Gideon to bring about obedience and to cause obedience in the people of Israel. But did you know there's a story that leads up to Gideon being this great man of God, this great man of victory, Gideon? So I want to talk about that today. Did you know that Gideon was at a place where he was insecure? Gideon was at a place where he didn't know who he was in God. So I want us to look at that a little bit today, and it's found in Judges chapter 6. And we're going to look at Gideon's self-portrait. We'll look at Gideon's insecurity. We'll take a few points out of that, see how they can apply to our life today. Judges 6, beginning in verse 11, says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now, the winepress was a place to where it was down under the ground, and it's where they mashed up the grapes to make the wine. Well, Gideon is down there threshing wheat. That's not the normal place, come to find out, not the place you want to thresh wheat. So we all know. The next time we thresh wheat, we'll know not to go to the winepress. We want to do it above ground. You want to do it where there's some wind and some breeze. What happens is when you crush the wheat, when you're crushing the wheat, you want the wind to kind of blow the husk away to where all you have is the wheat. That's the purpose. You don't really enjoy husk like you do wheat. And so you want to separate the husk from the wheat. And so you do that above ground where there's a little wind and breeze. Well, for some reason, Gideon is underground. He's in the winepress threshing the wheat. Well, we'll go on to see here in just a moment that he was there for a reason. He was hiding out. He was concerned that these Midianites were going to come along and steal his wheat and rob him. And so in verse 12 it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" Now, Gideon was so scared of the Midianites, he was so scared of what might happen that he was hiding out. And the last thing he expected was the angel of the Lord to come to him, number one. And secondly, what the angel of the Lord told him, "Mighty man of valor." He did not think of himself as a mighty man of valor because he's hiding out. He's scared of his enemy. See, Gideon had an identity problem and could not picture himself as one that would be mighty to fight against anyone or to win against anyone or to even step out and face anyone, much less his enemy, when he was in this place. It was hot down there in the swine press. It had to have been hot. It was miserable. And with that type setting, it distorted his view of what was really going on. So mentally, even physically, mentally, emotionally, he was distressed. He was down. A place, if you will, depression. A place that he was pulling himself away from God. He was hiding. He didn't have much faith that things were going to work out very well. So he finds himself down in the wine press. And so he didn't see himself as what the angel spoke to him. So Gideon said to this angel, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" It sounds like us, doesn't it? God, if you're with us, I know you're supposed to be with us, but you must have left me out. You hear the voice that he's speaking in here. "Why then, if you're with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about?" Man, that could be any one of us talking, couldn't it? "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" So here we go. I mean, he's just hammering away. "But now the Lord has forsaken us. He's delivered us into the hands of Midianites. He's actually brought us to the door of our enemy." He was discouraged. He wasn't seeing God for who he was. Therefore, he couldn't see himself for who he was. And then, in verse 14, "Then the Lord turned to him." It's interesting that the Lord did not reply to his complaining. Isn't that something? If I had been God, I'd have said, "Let me tell you something, buddy. Let me tell you what I have done for you. If it wasn't for me..." But God didn't cut my attitude. He was God. He is God. So it says, "The Lord turned to Gideon and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" See, God didn't even reply to the complaining. He just went right to the heart of it. "Midian, this is who you are. This is who I've called you to be, and this is what you're going to accomplish." Now, Gideon still didn't get it. Gideon still couldn't get past his current situation. He couldn't get past his current view of himself. He couldn't get past that he was hiding out from his enemy, and he felt weak as water. He couldn't sling his arm at a ghost, much less try to defeat his enemy. He felt like he was at wit's end. But God told him, he said, "Go in this might of..." In other words, go in this strength of yours. The last thing Gideon felt was strength. Gideon didn't feel like what God was calling him. He didn't see who God was calling him. He didn't see God. He didn't even see God as God. He's blaming God for a situation. Thank God he doesn't get mad at us when we... God was not offended. God could have got his feelings hurt and said, okay, if you feel that way. God wasn't offended. Sometimes we feel like we go so far in sin, we've made such a mess out of life till we've offended God and he doesn't love us anymore. But God is there. God is not only there, he's there to call you out and to tell you who you are. And not even hold the stuff that you've done or said in your past against you. Are you getting that? So God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself. God saw not only where, God knew where Gideon was at. I mean, God has big screens, and he knows exactly where we are and what we're feeling all the time. So just so you know, God knows where you are. God knows what you're feeling. So God saw that. He knew where, he didn't lose track of Gideon. He knew he was in the wine press. He was hiding out. God knew how he was feeling. Gideon made it pretty plain. So he knew all those things, but he still wanted to remind Gideon of who he was and that he had strength. Now remember, the strength didn't come from Gideon. The strength came from God. And so whenever you're feeling at your lowest point, and you will, maybe you have, maybe you are, at your lowest point, remember that God is calling you, that you have strength, and you can go forward and do all he's called you to do. Not only can you do all that you think and believe you can do more than what you know you can do. God will give you the strength to do it. So Gideon was, he was focused on who he was, which limited who he was to become. There was much more that Gideon was to become. There's much more to today for you to become more than what you are. Many times we can't see that. We look at our current situation. Well, what about this? What about this? Like Jordan was talking a while ago, we find ourselves facing this terrible situation. We find ourselves in this terrible place. Maybe you were instrumental in getting yourself there. I've been there too. You know, some of the things that I've done in the past, I would be better off had I not done them. But did you know what? God can even work in those situations. Thank God he doesn't say, well, Mike, you were dumb in getting yourself there, so, hey, I'm leaving you there. You're going to learn your lesson. Thank God he doesn't do that. If so, I wouldn't be here today. I can tell you that. Because I've got myself in some stuff. Amen? And so God doesn't hold those things against us. He comes at us the very same way. He says, I know sometimes you don't think right. Sometimes you are knuckleheads. Sometimes you have a thick head. But you know what? I'm still here with you anyway. And in your strength, you can make it out of this. So we don't look at our current situation as a dead-end street. We look at our current situation as a place where God's going to springboard us and give us the strength to go forward and to accomplish all that he's called us to accomplish. You've got to believe that. I'm telling you the truth. Many of you are limited by by the vision of what you see right now. Many of you are limited by what the facts are. The facts are the facts. But the truth is God has something more for you. Okay? So we can't live by the facts. The fact is this country is in a mess. But you know what? The truth is God will prevail and he'll bring us out of this. So what do we look at? Do we look at the facts or do we look at the truth? For you, I want you to look at the truth. I want to look at the truth. I want to see that my current situation is no picture of where I am to become, of what I am to become. Your current picture, your current status, it may not be exactly where you want to be. Your current status is not the final of what you are to become or where you are to be. So we need to look around us and we need to say, thank you, God, for where I'm at. But Lord, I thank you that I'm not where I was, and I'm not where I'm going to be. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. So Gideon's, his vision was distorted by his current view. His perspective of the situation was distorted. See, God didn't see Gideon in the pit at all. He knew he was there. Maybe Gideon expected God to say, well, Gideon, buddy, I don't know how you got there, but I'll be praying for you. You know, God could have saw this, could have seen the situation that Gideon was in as a dead-end street. You are really at wit's end. You really have got yourself in a mess here. But God saw the potential of what Gideon was to become. I want to encourage you today. God sees your potential. Not only that, he's not leaving it up to you to do it. He wants you to call on him to help you do it. See, Gideon couldn't have faced victory by himself. He walked through this pit all alone. He walked through this pit, what he thought was he was there and he was maybe to die there. But God used that the same way he's going to use your past, the same way he's going to use your current situation to push you forward to do all that God wants you to do. You may find yourself in a place to where you'd rather not be there. You would give a leg to get out of where you are right now. I mean, you're desperate. I realize there are some places that maybe some of you are in today that you would do anything you could to get out of and get past it. But let me tell you, God is going to use that thing to bring greatness in your life, if you allow God to, like Gideon did, bring greatness in your life to push you forward to accomplish greater things than you ever thought was possible. So we've got to stop seeing our current situation as the end result. That's only a path to the journey. That's only a path to our victory. Mighty man of valor is what this angel called Gideon. God is calling each of you mighty men, mighty women of valor. Mistakes and all. And so in verse 15, Gideon finally gets honest with God. Many times we just need to get honest with God. We need to communicate with God. We need to say, God, here I am. Gideon said to God, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. If you knew these people, they can't do anything, God. He calls them his clan. That's pretty cool. Clan's the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. He's really talking down. He's making small of what he currently has. God can use the smallest of the small, little David, little shepherd boy, to become king. I know you felt low. I know you felt hurt. I know you felt weak. And I know you felt like you were just thrown out. Verse 16 says in Judges, and the Lord said to Gideon, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. That's the word of God to Gideon. That's the word of God to you. But what's so interesting about this, God speaks of the Midianites, but then he speaks as one man. God will always call someone to be with you, to walk with you. He'll always bring someone that you would think less likely to be the one to walk with you. God will always bring someone with you to encourage you, to build you up, to say, you can do this. I'm praying for you. We have a lot of that. We have a house full of those encouragers. Keep going. Keep pressing in. Encouragers. You can do this. I love it. But there will always be someone in your life that will come up beside you. I had a pastor friend tell me several years ago, he was looking for a worship pastor. And he looked everywhere. He prayed and couldn't find a worship pastor anywhere. And finally he sent out a newspaper ad and on the internet looking for a worship pastor. Well, this man came along and he had all the talents. He had all the abilities. And he was great. So the pastor hired him and said, can you start next Sunday? Started next Sunday. Well, it didn't take but a year or two went by, and it was devastation. It just all fell apart. And so this pastor friend was telling the testimony about how he just felt let down. He prayed about it, and he felt like this man came along at the perfect time. But God spoke to him. He said, what about the one that's been with you all along? What about the one that's the quiet one that I've had my hand on all along, that you've witnessed him coming from middle school to high school to college, and now he's in the church, has the abilities, you overlooked him, what about him? He said, wow, God, he said, I never thought about him. So he went to him and talked to him. This has been several years ago, and he is the worship pastor and still the worship pastor. God's blessing that church. God will always send someone around you. Be sure to pay attention to what God's doing around you. We can sometimes overlook the smallest blessings, and that's going to wind up being the key to what God wants to bring in our life. Sometimes it's the smallest things that we overlook because it's not flashing. It's not flashing. It doesn't have loudspeakers and not, here I am, here I am. I'm your answer to your life. You know, and so we overlook that because it's not it's obvious. It's obvious that's the answer when we overlook the smallest thing, the one that God has planted there to be the biggest blessing in our life. And so God said to Gideon, he said, you shall defeat as one man. You shall defeat the Midianites, all of your weak clan. You're going to defeat him as one man. In other words, you're going to go forth in unity. God's going to bring you together in a spirit of unity, and you will accomplish great things. So numbers doesn't necessarily mean the strength of God's power. God can use a small number to accomplish greatness. We say that also in this story of Gideon. Go home this afternoon and read the rest of it. You'll see that God used a small number to accomplish great things. So sometimes we look at numbers and we get defeated and we get discouraged because the number's not very big. Whether it's people numbers, whether it's dollar numbers, whether it's whatever numbers. And we get so focused on a small number that we don't realize that God used a small number to accomplish some great things. 9 times out of 10, it was something small that turned into big. Amen. Wow, that's a message for another day. Verse 24 says, Gideon built. Goes on to say here that Gideon accomplished greatness. He experienced victory. And so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and this is what he called it. The Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. After everything Gideon went through, and we just gave you just a brief synopsis here of what the story entailed. After all that was there, he called the Lord is peace. Now the word peace here in Hebrew translates to the word contentment. When we come to the place to where we have full confidence in God and see God who he is, therefore seeing us who we are in him, we'll come to a place of contentment. We'll realize, not of arrogance, just contentment. Knowing who God is and who God is in me. I cannot accomplish anything without God. Whatever great thing we accomplish individually and corporately, it'll be because of God accomplishing it through us. And we can be content, we can be secure, we can be at peace in knowing that he will give us the strength to face our enemy and to accomplish great things. Contentment. So finally Gideon came to that place of contentment after it was all said and done, after he achieved greatness by the hand of God. See, had he not listened to what God spoke to him and that greatness that God spoke to him, even in spite of what Gideon thought and believed about himself, he would not have achieved the place of contentment. This world today is at a place of discontentment. This world is a place today of discouragement, of looking everywhere else for peace and for contentment, where it's found in God. It's all in who we are in Christ. And so we can overcome these insecurities. I want to take 3 points out of this story that we must first see God correctly. We've got to, number one, first see God correctly. If we see God correctly, then we can see us correctly. We can't see us true until we see God true first. See, some of you were too, I was raised in a church where when I was a kid, it was always God was looking at me with a frown, and he was mad. And if I made a mistake, So when I grew up as an adult, I had this picture of God. Why did I want to serve somebody that was always mad at me? He was always looking at me with a frown, and he was mad at me. You know, so many times we get the wrong picture, we get the wrong perception of who God is. As the loving God, the one who created us, why is he going to create you and then be mad at you? He created you so that you would have a life of peace and contentment and be full and be abundant. That's God's purpose for your life while we're here on earth. When we get to heaven, there'll be more of it, but there'll be no sin. There'll be no sickness. It'll be absolutely perfect. But God, he sent us this word here so that we can still experience his greatness here on earth. And so he's come to do that. But we've got to see God correctly before we can receive that. We've got to see God correctly. I had to have my seeing adjusted. I had to have my vision tweaked so that I could see God for who he is. I had to see God correctly. Psalm 59:10 says, my God of mercy shall come to meet me. That's God's attitude toward you. God of mercy shall come to meet you. God shall see my desire on my enemies. The Living Bible version of Psalm 59:10 says, my God is changeless in his love for me. God is changeless in his love for you. Changeless. He loves you. He's always loved you before you were ever born, and he'll always love you. That's God's attitude toward you. The second way to overcome insecurity is, number two, see yourself the way God sees you. If we see God for who he is, then we can see ourselves for who God sees us. God sees you as greatness. God sees you as a mighty man, a mighty woman of valor. Well, if he really knew where I was and what I was doing and how discouraged I was and how low on the bottom I was right now, he wouldn't say that. Yes, he would say that. He would say that. He said that to Gideon. At Gideon's lowest point, Gideon still called him a man of strength, and that he would be sent to go out and to be victorious over his enemy. He's saying the same thing to you today. On top of that, we have Jesus Christ walking with us to never leave us nor forsake us. Goes with us all the way to the end. Aren't you glad? But we've got to see ourselves as a child of God. See ourselves as one who is loved by God. Well, God, if you're so great, tell me if this sounds familiar. God, if you're so great, why are we in the place that we're in? God, if you're so great, why don't we see the miracles we see? I've had people actually ask me, if you're serving God, why don't we see miracles? Why don't we see you raising the dead? God is still God. Even in my limited ability, your limited ability, God is still God. And God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I can't give you answers to every one of your questions, but I can tell you one who does. Amen. God has the answers. And if you don't answer us here, he'll give us a chance around the chair in the living room up in heaven to ask him some questions. I believe it. But see, you are special in God's sight. See yourself who you are in Christ, that this life would not be as good as it is without you in it. God put you here today for a reason, for a purpose. Thank God for the Good News Club, that you're leading the Good News Club. Thank God for you. You're special. You're needed. You're important to head up the Good News Club in Glenn County. Every one of you are having an impact, of whether you realize it or not. There are great things. There are greater things for you to do. And thank God for you. I thank God for you. I love you. I praise God for you, for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and even the greatness yet to be done in your life. I thank God for that. See yourself as special to God. Be encouraged. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen generation. That's you. A royal priesthood. Don't see yourself the way that you are right now. Maybe you are all that you want to be right now, but let me tell you, there's more. If you've accomplished everything you ever wanted to accomplish in life, there's more. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. There you go. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the third, last thing, way that we can overcome insecurities is get around people who see the way God sees you. Get around people. I'm not saying that we can't be in the world. Yeah, we can be a light in the world. We can do that. I'm talking about who you spend your quality time with. Who is your inner circle? Who do you spend your quiet time with? When you want to be or need to be encouraged, who do you go to? Who is your inner circle? Who is connected to your life? Who do you trust? Who do you believe in? Be sure those people see you the way God sees you. And by doing that, by being around people who see you the way God sees you, it will only encourage you. It will only lift you up. It'll only help you to grow even more. See, we learn from one another. And I need you in my life. I need you. Get around people who will encourage one another. Could be fun time, could be golf, could be fishing, could be hunting, could be crocheting, you know, whatever. I see needle and yarn, that's all I saw. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron. You're iron to me. Amen? You're sharpening me up. Sharpen me up. So it's a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. His countenance, his identity, his self-portrait, who he is. So you help sharpen that in me. I had somebody tell me one time, said, I'm not going to tell you just how great of a pastor you are because your head will get too big. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But we want to, I know what he was saying. I understand that. He was trying to tell me he appreciates me without telling me he appreciates me. But I'm just telling you right now, I appreciate you. Amen. Thank you. But we're iron sharpening iron, trying to build each other up, trying to encourage each other, and trying to speak life through God to each other. Because we'll all come to a place in the wine press to where we're down there trying to hide out and saying, my Lord, I hope my enemy can't find me down here. But God is speaking to us today. He's saying there's something greater in you. There's something more that you can do. Even greater than what you see yourself as. Learn to see yourself through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And he'll bring the answers. Isaiah 43:19, where we started. Behold, I will do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in you today. If you've not yet experienced the new thing that God wants to do, I believe that today is a perfect day for it to begin. and to see God who he is and to see who you are in God. I'll do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Say it shall. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? He says that he'll even make a road in the wilderness. Now, that seems impossible to you. Where you want to be at this time next week, it seems impossible to you. But all things are possible with Christ, even to make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that can do anything in our life? And he wants to encourage you today so that you see Jesus Christ, who he is, so that you can see who you are in Jesus Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things. Aren't you glad? Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Give God a hand clap. That's okay. Give God a hand clap. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. Nothing is impossible with you. Hosanna. Hosanna. God, you are bigger than our limitation. You're bigger than our past. You're bigger than our current situation. Lord, you're bigger than what we see tomorrow as. Lord, there's some people here today dreading tomorrow. But Lord, I pray that you'll give us a perspective of what you want to do tomorrow. Lord, even in spite of the bad situation that we may be looking at. God, I pray that we not limit our day by our current situation. God, I thank you that you do not limit who we are and who we are to become by our past or even by our current situation. Father, there may be some today that feel like they're in the pit. Maybe some today that feel like they're in the wine press. They're just killing time, trying to hide out and trying to get by. Father, I pray that you'll cause them to see that there is something greater on the way. Just as a farmer is waiting on the crop to grow, just as a farmer is waiting for the wonderful harvest, God, I pray that we will see that there is a harvest coming. Stay diligent. Stay diligent. Don't let up. Keep going forward. Change your perception. Your perspective. Be consistent in what God's called you to do. That's key. That's for somebody here. That's for somebody here. Stay consistent in what God has called you to do. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it's death. But when we follow God's way, it leads to life. Lord, I pray life over every person here today. I pray abundant life over every person here today. Lord, I pray that just as you conquered death, hell, and the grave, Lord, I pray that you just drive out all fear right now in Jesus' name. You said in your word, perfect love casts out all fear. So, Father, I speak your love, your presence, your power, your word, your wisdom. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. If you need a dose of what God has for you today, I just want you to take a step of faith and come stand right here with me. This morning, just come stand right here with me. If there's something you're facing that you just feel like is impossible, if there's something you're facing that you can't see God's hand in, if there's something you're facing that you feel like you're all alone, come stand with me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I can't express to you the turning point that I sense in my spirit. I can't express to you the change. Beginning today and tomorrow, I believe each week has been a building process for us so far this year, 19. By the way, 19 is going to be an awesome year in spite of the economy, in spite of what D.C. says, in spite of who's fighting who. But this has been a building process, and I believe that this week is bringing us to another level of power, another level of blessing, another level of putting yourself in a place to where God wants you. No, if we look at the circumstances right now, y'all, if we look at your own personal situation, you may be discouraged. But put that aside. Don't look at the facts. Don't look at the way things currently are. I want to encourage you to do that. Don't look at those things as they are, but as the way that you want them to be, the way that you expect them to be, the way that, that's not a good word, the way that you feel like God wants them to be. Look at the things in your life right now as the way that you know God wants them to be. See, God wants to bless you. God is calling you that you have strength whether you feel it or not. God is saying that you have victory whether you see it coming or not. That's what I want you to see. Apply that to your situation. And as we worship these next few moments, I just want it to simmer and it to go down and just to sink down in you like water into a plant. You've seen a dry plant before where it's just crying out for water. Just imagine right now you being that plant. And God is about to pour the picture of cool, clear water. H2O, Tim. God is about to pour the H2O right now over that dry plant. So as Jordan leads us into worship, just picture he's standing right there with you. And he's just about to bring some life to your situation. And there's going to be a change. I believe that. There's going to be a change.